This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. If you would like to have a copy of this program on a CD or if you want to re-listen to it on my website, you'll need either my mailing address or my website address. I have a weekly meditation you can read on my website. We would be happy to take your prayer requests, answer your questions. We would be happy to put you on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time. So if you need my addresses, my mailing address or my website address, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, last time we were finishing up Acts 27, and we were noticing how that this journey that Paul was taking from Caesarea to Rome was a picture of life. And there's ups and downs, there's problems. But it seems as though as we look at this situation, at the very end of it, the sailors didn't listen to Paul, and they didn't realize that Paul had insider information, even though he wasn't really a sailor. And he had told them that if they sailed, they were going to have trouble. And they thought, since the south wind was blowing softly, and since everything looked favorable to sail, that they should sail. Well, they made a mistake. They end up in a storm. And we do that in life. We make bad decisions. We end up in a storm. But in this storm, they stayed with the ship, even though it broke up, and they all escaped safely to land. And I think the last time, the point I was trying to make is that the only way we're going to escape safely to land is if we are in Christ. And while we know that being in Christ is what gives us our righteous standing with God, being in Christ means that we have trusted Christ. We are seen in His righteousness. We are not seen in our sins. And the Lord promises that if we believe, we will be saved. If we trust Him, we will be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And as I look at this story in this way, escaping safely to land is escaping safely to the land of promise, to the heavenly land that we would all like to end up in one day. They have to be in the ship, and I'm looking at the ship as Christ. And even though the testimony of Christ is splintered today, if we are clinging to Him, if we're clinging by faith to Him, we're going to escape safely to land. But I also like to look at the ship as being a picture of a church or of a fellowship. And so when we go through life, we'll have storms, we'll have problems come up. And the only way we're going to be preserved spiritually, and sometimes even physically in those problems, is if we have a group of Christians, a fellowship that we are associated with, that will in fact help us and preserve us and encourage us. Now, I know that there are people who claim that you don't need to go to church, and it's true that you can go to heaven without going to church, but when the problems come, it's nice to have a church family to be there and to be a help to you. And I believe that escaping safe to land can be looked at as escaping the problems and the penalty that we deserve because of our sins, so that we can end up in heaven. But I think it can also be looked at as being preserved in this life to serve the Lord and to maintain some sense of happiness and some ability to know why the Lord has us here. And so whether the good comes or the bad comes, we need a fellowship if we're going to escape safely to land during the times when the problems come. So we need to be in a fellowship that honors Christ, and we need to be in Christ. Now, in Acts 28, it's interesting that because of the bad decision that the sailors made, and because of the storm, there's a little island called Malta that is going to receive a blessing. And the thing that encourages me about this is that there are times when God has his eye on people and has a heart for those people, and we don't. We aren't exercised or at all about going to them and preaching the gospel to them. But I've said that people hear the gospel one way or another in their lives. And here's a case where God took it upon himself to use these circumstances to bring Paul, probably one of the best known evangelists of his day, perhaps the best known, perhaps the most effective evangelist of all time. He brought him to the little isle of Malta, and they got to see Christianity in action, and they got to hear about the Lord. Now, let's just read the passage. It says in verse 1, "Now when they had escaped, they found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold." The natives were kind. Sometimes we find out people that aren't Christians can be kinder than people who are Christians, and that's a shame. They show Christian virtue, even though perhaps they show it for the wrong reasons. And yet, while that's not always true, oftentimes we find out that that basic desire to be decent is found in people, even though people, by nature, are sinners. But that basic desire to be decent and to help our fellow man is seen in people who oftentimes have no relationship with the Lord. And obviously, we who do have a relationship with the Lord should show that same kindness, and usually we do, but sometimes we don't, and we need to really think about that, because this is how the gospel is honored, when we can show kindness as well. They showed kindness to Paul. We're going to see that Paul had a special ability to show kindness to them. Now, it says in verse 3, "But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper, that is a poisonous snake, came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live.' But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up suddenly and fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." Now, he wasn't a god. But they made two wrong assumptions. They made the assumption that every time something bad happens, that's the judgment of God. And they also made the assumption that when we overcome in a miraculous way something, and in this case it was a bite of a viper, when that is overcome in a miraculous way, things go against the normal principles of nature, that in fact it's only gods that can do that. Well, it is interesting that if every bad thing that happens is a judgment for sin, then there's an awful lot of us that are in trouble, because bad things have happened to an awful lot of us. And we've looked into our lives and we've said, well, there was absolutely nothing that I did for which the Lord should be chastening me. I have a good conscience. And if you do have a good conscience, then you have to recognize that sometimes bad things happen to good people. And the real question is, how will you react when that happens? Will you continue to serve the Lord, or will you deny him? We look at Job. He was an upright man. He was one who avoided evil. He hated evil. He prayed for his children. There was no reason why he should be struck with boils, why he should lose his family, why he should lose his property. There was no reason for it, excepting what he didn't know is that the Lord was using Job to prove that some people worshipped him just because they wanted to honor him, and they didn't have to have a reason for it. And so Satan didn't understand that. He thought there should be some material benefit associated with worshiping the Lord. So Job had done nothing worthy of the problems that came into his life, even though his friends, again, like these people, charged him with sin. They said these things wouldn't happen if your life was right, but his life was right, even though he had some lessons to learn about humility, his life was right. And so we have to recognize that when we go visit people in the hospital, we're not always visiting people that have committed sins. But on the other hand, if we know they've committed sins, if they have been drug addicts, or if they've been immoral insofar as their sexual habits are concerned, their marriages and so on, if those are the things that have caused their problem, we need to be honest with them about that. But we don't have to assume that every person that has a problem has a great sin in their lives. The second thing is that when the Lord was here, the miracles that he did were done to prove that he was the Son of God, but he said he was the Son of God. But when he allowed his disciples and apostles to do miracles, those miracles were not designed to show that the disciples were gods. They were done to show that they had the Word of God, and they were done to glorify the Lord Jesus. And any time somebody does a miracle and, in a sense, takes honor unto himself as though he's special, there's something about that that is wrong. And so Paul didn't want to be worshipped as a god. This is at least the second time in his life when people have tried to do that. He wanted them to worship the Lord that he served. And he wanted these miracles to simply make them understand that the Lord did love them, and that in fact he was one of the apostles that had the message of the Lord. And so he was not a god, but he spoke about the Lord Jesus, who was God. And so now the question is, do these miracles still occur today? Well, this is late in the Acts of the Apostles, and they're still occurring. And so I'm not going to say that they don't occur, but I am going to tell you that I don't have those gifts, and they don't occur in my ministry. And it doesn't really bother me a whole lot that I can't heal people or that I can't speak in tongues. It doesn't bother me a whole lot because I have the Bible and I have the Lord, and I have the ability to explain to people how much God loved them and how that Christ died for them. And I see people saved from time to time, and seeing them saved spiritually is so much better than seeing them healed, because healing is for a time and salvation is for eternity. And so we who preach the gospel, and those who say they have these gifts, they're not gods. They point to a God in heaven that loves them. And these people were blessed because Paul landed on a certain island, and because they were Christian-like and received him, he was able to be an encouragement and a help to them, even to the point of healing their sick and blessing them in that way. I hope, though, that as you've listened today, you understand the importance of being led to the God who has given his Son and has proven that he's satisfied with him by raising him from the dead. And I hope that you have been saved, even if you have never been healed. Now, our Heavenly Father, just bless that which has been of thyself today. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for thy salvation. We pray for thy blessing upon our listeners in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.